Okay, this is Parakhasana Hosabadam. We're dealing now, focusing more on the lafas that have to do with serpents and them going free. Different situations where the master is forced to free them, etc. Let's say a person sells his servant to a non-Jew, Yotze Bechorin, so automatically he's considered to be free. The kofet is rabba lachshav nosu minakom, and then we force the master, right, to go ahead and purchase him from the non-Jew, even if it's 10 times his value. Because he'll get shechar v'yotze, you write him in technical document to release him, and he goes out. Then lo ratza akum l'makro, but let's say the non-Jew doesn't want to sell him, afilo basar v'damav, even for this massive increase in his value, eim echad nosu yeser, that's it. At that point, we don't obligate the master to pursue. Uknaseh ain't going as well. Okay, now this fine is not really is not collected from him, but done as well, and judge he's not judged on it. Elo bezin mumchin, only in front of an expert court. Then mesa mocher. Let's say the seller dies. Ain't going as well. Yorish. We don't require the person inherits him to return the slave. We need to go after the servant and get him back again in order to free him. Okay, halacha beis. Love el avdam in akum. Right, so let's say a person borrows money from a non-Jew, using his servant as a collateral. In kabbalah zman, if there's a set time, and he says, listen, if let's say January 10th comes and I haven't paid you, then you go ahead and own the body of this servant. Obviously, you have to look here at the ebb goes from yadav. Let's say he says, you can purchase that which he does with his hands. Doesn't go free. Now let's say the what do you call it? The non-Jew went ahead and took the grabbed the servant as payment off his debt. Or let's say, for instance, what do you call it? Certain people came to attack the guy who's his master and they want to kill him. And he went ahead and redeemed himself by giving them the servant. Doesn't go free. Because he was taken from the master against the will of the servant. Halacha Gimel, Machar Avdo Le'echam Abdei Melech Omigdolav. Let's say a person sells a servant to one of the servants who works for the king, or for one of his officers. Apishu Misyarimahem. Even if he's what do you call it? The seller is afraid of them. Yatsa Avlechiris. The evidence goes free. Nishai Yachlo Faisam Malanacher. Because it could appease them in some other financial way. Let's say a person sold his servant to a non-Jew for 30 days. Let's say he sold them except for his work, chutz or mitzvahs. He sold them except for doing mitzvahs, chutz mishavas yom tovim. He sold them except for Shabbos and yom tov. Harizu sapek. It's a question in nishtacher or nishtacher with whether he goes free or not. That's why if they see this, the servant grabs property of his value from the master, so he can go free from the non-Jew. Aimless in yado. We don't go ahead and take it away from the servant. That doesn't matter whether the Jew sells his servant to the non-Jew who's idolatrous, or to the citizen, non-Jewish citizen of Eretz Yisrael. I feel the kusa even to those like unclear Jews, I mean, most probably non-Jews. He goes for, and let's say he goes ahead and sells him to a what do you call it, a Jew who's in some way against the lacha. Or is this topic? It's a question. That's why if he went ahead, the slave took property that belonged to his original master. He wants his man to go out, be out of Mumar, to escape from the Mumar Jew. We do not forcibly take it back from the servant. Okay, let's say a person is living in Eretz Yisrael and he sells his servant to somebody who lives in Chutz Laretz, Yatsa Ben Chorin. So then he goes free. We force the second master to write him a contract that lets him go free, but up to the government, and all the money is lost. So why did the Chacham come along and penalize just the person who purchased it? Because if he not purchased this turban, the Ebed would never have left Eretz Yisrael. Syria, which if a person sold his servant to Syria, which is again considered Bafil Akko or Akko, which are considered to be the Rabbat in Eretz Yisrael, Kamokra L'Chutzaretz, as if he sold them into outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let's say there's a question about a case of, let's say someone lives in Bavel and he marries someone in Eretz Yisrael, but died to Laksar, and his intentions of returning to Bavel, and the woman brings with her servants and maidservants into the house. Harilu Safek, it's a question, if they consider like those who are sold outside of Eretz Yisrael, since he has rights to the produce, Oh, it's not considered like that. Since ultimately the physical part, the physical aspect, so to speak, of these people belong to the woman. Let's say a servant follows his master to Syria. The master sells him there. The slave is given up all his privileges. That's when the master leaves without intention to ever coming back to Eretz Yisrael proper. Let's say the intention of the master is to return. And he went after him. What do you call it? And he gets sold there. Yatzalacheris, he goes free. The kofin is lokeach and we compel the purchaser to go ahead and free him. Let's say the servant asks his master to move there to Israel. Kofin is rabba lalos imo. We force the master to go up with him. Or to sell him to somebody who's making aliyah. Let's say the master wants to leave Eretz Yisrael to outside of Eretz Yisrael. He cannot force the servant to move with him against his will. And this applies in all times. Even when Eretz Yisrael is in the hands of the non-Jews. If a servant runs away from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael, we can return him back into servitude. Va'alav ne'amar, it says upon him, lo saskir eved al panav, they don't return the servant to his master. Avam the rabbo, and he says to his master, sheyichdav get shichror, that he should go ahead and write the contract and let him go free, bichdav shtar chol b'damav, and write a promissory note for the ozen, achatasik yado, until he can afford it, b'itin lo, and give it to him. And lo ratzav lo shachro, let's say the master does not want to set him free. A mafkin basin shigudo melav v'yelafo. The court goes ahead and basically obliterates any ownership he has of the servant, and the servant is about to go free. Let's say a servant fled to Eretz Yisrael. Harihu ger tzedek, he's actually considered a righteous convert. And the Torah actually adds an additional prohibition. Misham ano, so that anyone who, what do you call it, makes his life miserable. Meshush felt ruach yosemin ger, because he's considered to be more humble than a convert. And that's why the Torah says, Shneimar, Imcha yoshev b'kevur chal be'echad sharecha b'tov lo tonenu zu af hanias dvarim, even verbally abusing him, so to speak. Nimsas lamad. So what do we say? Shema'anis ager, someone who is derogatory or denigrates the convert hazeh. This specific convert, meaning the abed convert, over shloshim lamad is over three separate yisurim. Mishum lo sonu ishes hamisal, mishum ger lo soneh, mishum lo sonenu. So it's three separate yisurim. Mishum over mishum lo sochal tenu, k'mosh v'yam in hanaya. He's also over the last one of oppressing somebody. Insofar as the issue of Honoya is concerned. Lachy Bez, Akon Admin Akum, the person purchased a servant from a non Jew, Stam, Lo Ratzo Lamo, right? And what do you call it? The servant says that he doesn't want to go ahead and go to the mikveh, the columns of Adam, or to accept the commandments of servants. So he's given basically room, a flexibility for that for 12 month period of time, being Lo Ratzo. And after that, he doesn't want to close him off with Akum or Chutzar. Let me go ahead and you can sell him to a non-Jew or outside the right to Israel. Then Hisna Eben Alav Tchila. And let's say the servant made a stipulation to begin with, Shalom Yimo, that he doesn't want to go to be circumcised. Or is it Mutal Kaima calls Manchirsa Bibiuso? Right. So then it is permitted to go ahead and keep him as a non-Jew for as long as he wants to. And then a Mokal Akum or Chutzar and sell him to a non-Jew or to Chutzar. Bechin Evich Mal Batava Lashem Avdus. So to a obviously, non-Jewish servant who goes to the mikvah and is circumcised for the purpose of being a servant. And afterwards, let's say he's captured by robbers. And let's say his master can't get him free. Whether it's through Jewish law or secular law, then it's permitted for him to accept payment from the non-Jew. And then go ahead and get the sale done in non-Jewish court. Because as if he is saving money from the non-Jews. Let's say someone says his slave no longer has an owner. He goes free, and therefore he needs a technical document to free him. Let's say the master who declared him not to have an owner dies. Person inherits, goes ahead and writes him the contract, letting him go free. So a servant who goes ahead and runs away from jail. In the sanctuary of Rabbo, if the master gave up getting him back, and we force the master to write him that technical contract to let him go. Right? Let's say a servant is captured by non-Jews. So if the first master gives up getting him back, So anyone who redeems him with the intent that he remains a servant is he's then he becomes a servant. But if you redeem him for the purpose of him going free, he's free. Let's say the master did not give up him back. Anyone who redeems him for the purpose of being a servant, no rabo, he takes the redeeming money, he takes the money back from the master, because the rabo, bimpado, and he goes back to his master. But if he redeemed him for the purpose of going free, then he returns to the original owner without any payment whatsoever. What do you call it? Let's say the master makes a servant, like a representative, a financial representative for the debt that's owed to, for his creditors off a debt, the right? And then let's say the servant is free, so he's considered to be free. And then we force the owner of the debt to let him go free. Is also to make sure the world is run properly, because the creditor doesn't want to get to the slave later on and say, and say, listen, you belong to me. Right. So if you have a servant that, let's say, he marries, excuse me, a master marries his servant to, let's say, a free woman, or tefillin, or the master puts tefillin on his head, or he tells the, or he has the servant read three psukim from the Torah, and he does other things that are obligated in. Ella ben Choron, only someone free, Yatzalacheris, he goes free. The Kopanis Rabbah lift up Loget Shechor, and we force the master to write him a contract letting him go free. Bechin another Neder, Shekofen Olavas Abadim. So, too, let's say the servant took a vow that we make servants follow, Kemosh Yarn and Garm, like we explained in Hilchos Adarim, Garmelo Rabbah, and the master says to him, Mofer Lecha, this is annulled. Yatzalacheris, he goes free. Shekemoshal Kafosal Machum Sheshal Kafosal, because since he did not force him a situation which he should have forced him, it's clear that he was finishing his servitude. The Rambam says, if a person frees a slave in any language, and anything that comes out of his mouth indicates what he called what comes out of his mouth indicates he doesn't have any rights over him. He's not subjugated anymore. And that he is resolved to take the step. He can't go back in it. Don't get shechor. Therefore, we force him to write the contract, letting him go. Even if he had not written one already. But let's say he borrows money from the servant. He makes him guardian. He puts on tefillin in front of his master. Or he reads the psukim in front of his master. And the master doesn't rebuke him. He does not go free. It's forbidden for a person to teach his servant Torah, and if he does so, that doesn't mean the servant goes free. The person purchases a servant from a non-Jew, the kadam eved the talav ni rabo, and let's say the servant goes ahead, takes initiative, and what do you call it? Goes to the mikvah in front of his master, the horn to be free. He goes free. Shalov ni rabo. Let's say he did it outside the presence of his master, tzar lefarsh, the farsh. He must be open about his intent. That's why the slave's master must actually push him into the water. Let's say a Jew seizes the property of a, what do you call it, a non-Jew who's a child, a matzatino kakum. Let's say he finds a non-Jewish child, he puts him into the mikvah to become a convert, or he's a ger, he's considered a convert. But if it's for the purpose of being a servant, he's a servant. And if it's for the purpose of being free, he goes free. Let's say servants and maidservants of a convert go ahead and go to the mikvah in front of him. They are automatically become free. Okay, that ends Parakhas, and we'll continue with Parakhas next time.